As I said a little while ago, we are song leaderless this morning. About two-thirds of our music department is away today. Brother Travis is out of town, and Gene and Joyce are out of town. So we're going to wing it with me this morning. So bear with me. It took some doing, but I talked to choir into coming up. They were going to skip out on me, I think. Anyway, if you will get your book to page 237.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it's all my love to thee. But I long to rise in the arms of faith.
Traveling. I guess Well, and we traveled some last week as well, so I guess everybody's trying to get the last hoorah in before school starts here in a couple weeks, or three, I don't know what, two? 2 weeks. Cindy's up here going, Cat, and where is Michelle? She's going like that too, so. Yeah, Tracy's saying, okay, good. Well, it's coming right upon us. And so I'm glad you're here, and we want to remember our travelers for traveling grace, that we might all be back together again soon. I saw the snow up there earlier. Thank you. It makes me feel good. I wanted to go outside and make a snowman.
Yeah, dream on.
Dream on.
Dream on.
The weather has been really, really nice, though. And one day last week, I believe I saw 50-something degrees on my truck thermometer on the way to work. And so at the end of July, I think that's a really good blessing. Russell, I haven't looked at the weather, but you said next week maybe some of the same. So that'll put us over into August. Can you believe that? Came home Saturday from our little trip and mowed grass, and it's still very green and growing. So God has blessed us with a very mild summer to this point. Thank Him for that. We had a good class as usual, and our teacher does a great job and a lot of participation in class. I know the rest of you have good teachers and good class. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. I encourage you to come. All right, where to start? There's so much stuff up here. We'll do that first. Directory updates available on the front row. So they look like this. They're stacked right there. If you have one of our directories, which has names, phone numbers, addresses, email addresses, stuff like that, and if you filled out an updated form that we've had on the back table for a while, those updates are right up here. So they're already hole punched, okay? Just take them and insert them where needed in your folder. If you don't have one of our directories, if you'd get with Miss Georgia, she'll hook you right up. These are very useful, valuable tools, and you can get a hold of anybody pretty much. And I did not change my phone number yet this time. So I encourage you to get one of these. Stay connected. Okay. This morning, the second time I've got one of those sheets here somewhere. It's kind of covered up. Here it is. This morning's youth fund offering. So the second time that the plate is passed will be for our youth fund. And Brother Russell brought up earlier, and I appreciate him bringing it up, because sometimes we forget everything that the youth fund does. We know that it feeds the children. The Wednesday night kids are going on a little outing here in a couple of Wednesday nights from now. It'll pay for that. Eureka Springs came out of that. But also, we did, the church did donate $1,000 for a scholarship last year out of the youth fund. So we appreciate everyone remembering that. All right, Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, July 31st, ice cream provided by Miss Donna Johnson, I guess Sam as well. No. It's just Donna. Oh, okay. We're going to have homemade? Oh, well, I thought I was. I mean, you know, that's kind of what I understood, but I guess I was wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong a lot. But this will be our last Wednesday night for ice cream. So if you've already signed up, don't forget, it'll come back around next year after school, and that'll just be in a couple of weeks. So keep that in mind. But next Wednesday, not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night, the youth are going on a little outing on Wednesday night. So it's for all of our Wednesday night. And so Cindy and Jeff and Mandy and I don't know who all, Michelle, several of them will be gone to that. We will be here. And so Ben's is the Wednesday night Bible stories will be over this Wednesday night. We will take back up on our Bible study. So come prepared for that. We don't like a whole lot, a few chapters, and then we will be beginning our Revelation study. So I encourage you to come to the Bible study on Wednesday night and Sunday nights. It's good, and it's going to be good, so keep that in mind. I will find out this week for sure, but when August the 4th, Brother Yorley's supposed to be here. My calendar got all messed up. And Brother David, his pastor, I tried to call last week and couldn't get a hold of, but I'll make that happen for sure. But we're expecting Brother Yorley next Sunday evening. So plan on coming and hearing Brother Yorley. You'll enjoy it. He's quite an amazing fellow. Okay? Homecoming was coming right up, August the 11th. So we'll be celebrating 116 years of service here. We'll have potluck immediately following the morning service, and then we will have singing and fellowship after we eat. And if you can still sing, and if you can't, you can come listen. And then we won't have any services that evening. Junction 5 will be doing the music. They'll be leading, you know, in congregational singing and stuff like that, and then they'll be singing some songs as well. So, and if you have a special, I know Brother Gene and the guys will look forward to that. Okay. Then, so everything kind of gets pushed back because of scheduling. So August the 18th will be our business meeting. And so I said last Sunday night, and Brother Russell mentioned it this morning, that we've got a letter from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Kirby, and it is related to a request for help for a brother that's starting a mission work in Cuba. And if you're not familiar, Cuba is it's one of the more hostile places in the world for Christianity because of the communistic government, and also the Catholic Church has the communist Catholic Church, okay? So they're very oppressive. It's a pretty dangerous place, but I know they desire our prayers and our help. We need to pray about what God would have us to do. So come and be thinking, praying about that. Come that night. We'll talk about that.
There's a copy of that letter on the table back there if you'd like to read it for yourself.
Okay. Copies of the letter back there. Pick one up, read it. All right. Also, we have a revival Centerview Missionary Baptist Church, Malvern. Where's old Brother Joe Cook? All right, Centerview is just before you get to the county line on Highway 270. You turn left. I don't remember the name of that that road.
171?
171? 171, isn't it? I think it's 171. It's out there 4 or 5 miles on the right.
There's a tent that's set up that has revival on it.
Okay. Brother Clyde Chenault, Palestine Missionary Baptist Church out of Sheridan, will be the evangelist. So it will be Monday, July the 29th through August the 2nd. That's tomorrow. So if you have an opportunity to go out there and support them, please do. All right. What else did I miss? Any other announcements? Center Hill singing next Saturday night at 6. If you see in your bulletin, we have some pictures of some beautiful people that have come here to be with us, and we welcome Miss Sandra Smith, Joe and Betty Dempsey, and as you know, we're waiting on some letters for some others. God has blessed us with your presence. We're glad you're here.
129.
song that's totally unrehearsed. And we may show that too, but it's a song we used to sing a lot. And back in the day, the men used to sing it to the ladies on Mother's Day. Of course, a good many of those men are no longer with us today, but hopefully those of us who are left still remember how it goes, and we can get it sung. Of course, I'm sure the ladies know how it goes in any of them. So we're going to sing Camping in Canaan Land.
The choir sounded really, really good this morning, and I give the credit to Lakin and Peyton. And, thank you, ladies, for joining the choir. It's good to be here this morning, and the weather has been really, really nice, and Brother Jeff, I understand, did a great job Wednesday night, and I missed being here with you. But it's very good to have a bunch of ladies and men that are able and capable and willing to carry on. And we took a little break and come back, but I always miss being here with you. Been looking forward to being back here this morning. We're going to be reading out of 1 Thessalonians and then Psalms 23. I love that scripture. Psalms 23. We'll be there in a little bit. Something happened to the recording last week. We didn't get it. Probably a good thing. I'm not sure. But anyway, if you remember last week's sermon, we talked a little bit about political correctness and how much I'm not politically correct. I just try to be correct in God. That's what we all ought to do. Also, we talked a little bit about racism and gender identity, and these are all subjects that are very commonly discussed in circles that we all travel in. And we need to be familiar with God's Word. And I'm often asked where I stand on a lot of issues, and my standard answer is very simply this: I stand on the Word of God. And whatever God says is the way it's supposed to be. So these things are issues that we born-again believers, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior, are dealing with now as we speak in our everyday life. I hate to tell you this, but it's going to get worse instead of better. Sometimes, maybe even most of the time, we're criticized for our stand on Bible teachings, and that's something, you know, I hate to tell you this, but it's going to get worse and not better. Perilous times are upon us. They're here. You've heard me say many times we're living in the greatest time that man has ever known, and after saying everything that I've just said, a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy. But if you read Bible scriptures and prophecies, you'll see that we are living the fulfillment of the end time prophecies now as we speak. Okay. Last week we also talked about judgment coming. And I thank God for the righteous judgment that's coming through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's coming on everybody alike. Lost and saved, and everybody's going to be judged. We will not escape standing before the righteous judge. Okay? The great news is that we have a rapture to look forward to. Now, I'm very aware that the word rapture is not in the scripture, but rapture literally means a calling away to be with Jesus. So this old world and the state that it's in is really being degraded every day as we speak. But we as born-again believers are looking forward to the day when our Savior, Jesus Christ, comes back in the sky and calls those of us who have believed and trusted in Him up to be with Him. And we get our glorified bodies. We talk about a glorified body a lot. This old body that I have has many miles on it, and there's a lot of things going on, and it hurts and it aches, and one of these days it's not going to do that anymore. But the best part of that rapture and the glorified body is that I get to spend the rest of eternity with Jesus. So whatever happens in this life is just really for a short period, and it's all okay because the reward far outweighs the sacrifice made in the journey. Never to be separated again, ever. Eternal. Forever. Those words mean a lot to us believers. I want to read 1 Thessalonians, then I'm going to read in Psalms here in just a little bit. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, I just want to read them. I think that we need to be reminded that we have a brighter future ahead of us. Starting in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's those who went on before us, okay? So the born-again believers who went on before us, they have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? Amen. Amen? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Many of you have heard me say this. I'm going to say it again because it means something to me. Many years ago, in a little town of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, I accepted Jesus Christ and was baptized. And if you've ever been out there, you can know how crisp and clean the air is. And I can remember sitting on Aunt Etta Faye and Uncle Paul's front porch and watching those big thunderstorms come in and those big clouds and lightning dancing in the air. And I couldn't help but think, I wonder if that's the cloud Jesus is coming in. And it was so poignant in my mind and in my thinking that I knew that Jesus was coming back for me after I accepted him. And I looked in those clouds and I expected to see Jesus. Let me tell you something, friend. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can expect Jesus coming back for you. Amen. And that thunderstorm is not going to be anything as glorious as that day. Comfort one another with these words. Now, we could preach about hard things and things that are going on in the world from now till Jesus comes back, but what I want you to know is that there's hope in trusting a true and living Savior, Jesus Christ. So no matter what happens in this world, in this life, Jesus has got it. He's got you in the palm of your hand, of his hand, where he keeps you. I've read and preached on these scriptures many, many times, and they give me comfort every time that I read them, knowing that Jesus is coming back. Oftentimes the question is, when, preacher, when? When's he coming? Well, as you've heard me say many times, I believe that the church will be called away before the tribulation period begins. Some, maybe a lot, believe that the church will have to go through at least half of the tribulation period, and some even believe that the church will be here even further than that. But here's what I know. When's Jesus coming back? When God's ready. Okay? How much of it will we have to go through? You know, I don't know, but here's what I do know. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32, it says, Jesus speaking, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." So I can't stand before you and tell you exactly when Jesus is coming back. Neither would I stand here and give you a date and a time, because only God knows. Okay, I believe from my studies in the Word and from the leadership of the Spirit, that the church, the born-again believers, are not going to see the wrath of God because of the grace of God. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we're not going to see that. But what if I'm wrong? Okay? I hate to admit it, but I've been wrong before. And so what if I'm wrong? What if we have to go through part of it or even all of it? I'm going to tell you something. If we do, it'll be bad. We think that what we have now is bad. It's nothing compared to what the tribulation period is going to be. But in Hebrews 13, we see these words. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as they have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Said it many times, the song says it best. What can this world do to us except send us to heaven a little quicker? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear, because Jesus will never leave you, and he will never forget you, and he will never forsake you. And if you'll lean on him, he will see you through whatever you're going through. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, we could have more of our religious freedoms taken away from us. It's possible. I don't know. What if there comes a time before Jesus returns when we can't worship in the open like we do today? We're blessed beyond belief that we're able to come down here to Oak Hill and to worship God in spirit and in truth freely without fear of the government, the police force, the army coming through those doors and taking us all off to prison. Those days may not stay that way forever, I don't know. But God, Jesus says, His grace is sufficient. So no matter what happens in this life, when we lean on Jesus Christ, His grace is sufficient. Okay? What if we're here through part of the tribulation period and a worldwide religious system is put into place? If you read end time prophecy and scriptures, you'll see that that is going to happen one of these days. Okay, so what if? What if one day we wake up and we are in the middle of the tribulation period and we are following the Antichrist as a world, not us particularly, but and there is a religious system put into effect that says we can't meet here and worship God. What will we do? Will we come anyway? Or will we... You answer the question. So what will we do? Remember, Jesus said, My grace is sufficient. What if a worldwide system is put in place? Okay? What if? What if? Well, those are a bunch of what ifs. But here's the answer to all the what ifs. My God is sufficient to see me through whatever this world throws my way. I know in my heart that God will see us through whatever trials that we face. Okay? We're talking about the rapture and all this stuff, but all the things that we talked about last week are nothing when we weigh them up against God's grace that He freely gives us. Now, okay, there's a lot of things going in the world today, okay? Addictions. There's all kinds of addictions out there, okay? So, if you're struggling with an addiction, my advice to you is this. God's grace is sufficient. And I would tell anybody that's suffering from an addiction, until you get God in the right place, you will never beat the addiction. But when you do, God will see you through. Yeah, it takes work on your part. I'm not minimizing that, but God is the key. If your marriage is struggling, and a lot of marriages are struggling today, so how do we make it through, preacher? We're struggling. God's grace. God's grace is what gets us through. Well, preacher, my business is struggling, and it gives me a lot of stress, and I would say that the same answer applies to you in your job, in your business, in your life, in your marriage, in your walk, that when things get so hard that you don't think that you can go another day, God's grace is sufficient when we trust and give it to Him. Be comforted. Yes, we're going to be judged, but we're going to be judged by a righteous judge. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you stand before Him, He is going to see you covered in the blood of Jesus. Some might say, I believe that, preacher, but I just don't know if I can make it till then. I mean, think about the people that you know in your circle that are struggling, and many of them are wondering how they're going to make it till then because of situations in their life. I hope that you have Psalms 23 highlighted and underlined in your Bible. Many of you maybe can quote it word for word. I'm going to read it because I don't want to get a word wrong. But we're going to read the whole psalm. It's short. And then we're going to talk about it just a little bit. Psalms 23, beginning in verse 1, it says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes I just need to read it and let God speak through this wonderful scripture that David wrote by inspiration of God. Look at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, how many of y'all are familiar with sheep very much? Huh? You know, I grew up, as I've told you many times, in Colorado. They have grazing on national forest throughout the summer. And actually, when Cindy and I went out there this summer, we saw a big flock of sheep that were being grazed on the national forest land. And so I grew up around some of that. I've never herded sheep, but I've been around them a lot in years past. And here's what I know. They're helpless. They can't really do anything much for themselves except chew the grass where you lead them to and drink the water that you lead them to. And I submit to you that the reason that Jesus refers to his children as sheep is because we fit the same category. We are really not capable of doing much for ourselves, but he will do it all for us. Passage is talking about watch, care, and protection right straight from God to us. If God can be for us, who can be against us? The shepherd furnishes everything these sheep need. They blindly follow the leader. Now, in my recollection of shepherding back in my childhood days, they would take a big flock of sheep up there. The shepherd or shepherds camped in a tent right with his sheep. Those sheep knew his voice so much in the scripture. It brings back so many memories. He could just talk to them and they would follow him. Wherever he went, they would follow him. And he camped with them and he protected them. Most of the time they had a dog and sometimes they'd have a horse, but most of the time it was a shepherd, a dog in a tent in the mountains for a summer. Everything up there like to eat sheep. Okay, we know that bears and stuff like that are predators and they like to eat sheep. Mountain lions, they're out there, they like to eat sheep. But did you know that eagles like to eat baby sheep as well? They'd swoop down in the flock, grab up a little lamb, fly off with it. And without the protection of that shepherd there, there would be no flock by the end of the summer. He protected them. He led them to where the good grass goes. Okay, he took them where they needed to go. I shall not want. The shepherd makes sure that we have what we need. Okay, that's what a sheep is. That's what we like. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, pastures, think about that. Pastures full of lush green grass just for the taking. That's what the shepherd gives the sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep plow the ground, plant the seeds to harvest the grass? I sure hadn't. God gives that. They eat because their shepherd takes them where the green pastures are. And the still water. There's such a message in the still water. Do you know that if a sheep hasn't had its coat shorn away, that it gets so big and heavy that if they get in water and it absorbs the water, they get so heavy they can't even walk? And if they get in a little bit of swift water and it knocks them down, they will drown right there because they're incapable of getting out. So the still waters here is a picture of the shepherd of God taking us to that place where that we can peacefully and safely drink of the water of life. You know, we can go for a long time without food, but we can only go a few days without water. I think of the sheep, and I think of the shepherd taking them down there to the still waters. And as we were out there and the snow was running off, and those little streams are swift. Waterfalls running down, the melt is still going on or mostly probably gone, but you couldn't just let the sheep go and drink wherever they want to. They'd get drowned. So God furnishes us everything that we need, our food, our water, and the proper place to get it. Okay? That's what a shepherd does. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Have you ever just been down? Feel like a heavy load? You just can't bear? You know what? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes when the weight of the world is upon us, we just need to steal away into our quiet place and give it to God. You ever find yourself in a place where it don't seem like you can make it one more day, and you hear the still, small voice of God saying, give it to me. I'll give you rest. He'll restore your soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've thought a lot about the rod and the staff. It was a means by which the shepherd was able to beat away wild animals, and also most of them had a crook on the end so that they could reach out and get them and pull them back. Did you know that if a shepherd had a sheep that was just wayward and would not follow the rest of the herd, that they would take that staff and they would break one of its legs? And that might sound cruel, but what they'd do then is that they would carry that little sheep everywhere that they went until the leg was mended. And that was a bond, because that sheep had to literally trust the shepherd for everything that it got. And by the time its leg was mended, that little sheep wouldn't leave its side to follow him everywhere. That staff and that rod is used for chastisement, I believe, but also for protection and also for guidance. And here's what it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I know that my God is able to keep me safe no matter what this world does to me. Well, preacher, what if somebody walks in that door and shoots up the church and everybody dies? If you know Jesus Christ, you've just went to a better place. My God is sufficient. When we trust him, we can have peace. All protection is given by God to his flock. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, y'all have heard me say this many times. I'm one of those guys that believes that the cup is always full. And I know people that are, you know, iffy about, the cup's half full, or, you know what, the cup's always full of something. What it's full of is whatever you put in it. So fill up your cup with God. Fill up your cup with the Scripture. Fill up your cup with Jesus Christ, and it will run over, and there's not room for anything else in there. I'm a cup always full guy. What it's full of depends on you. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you don't have those words, this scripture highlighted and underlined in your Bible, I urge you to do it, because you can always go back. And here's what we know, that the goodness and the mercy of God will follow you for all the days of your life after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust Jesus, and He will take care of you. Oh, preacher, I trusted Jesus back many years ago, and life still seems to happen, and I've had cancer, and I've had this, and I've had that. And it's more than just what we get in this life. Trust Jesus, and He will never leave you. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This old world's in sad shape, folks. And it's easy to preach about doom and gloom and bad things, but here's what I want you to know. That God is not ever taken by surprise. The things that we're dealing with in this world today are not something that God woke up one morning and said, oh, I wasn't expecting this, or I wasn't expecting that, and we've got to back up and make a new game plan. No. Excuse me. God always knew that the answer was Jesus Christ, even before He ever created man or this world. The plan has never changed. No Jesus and no peace. No Jesus and no peace. God's always had a plan for man, that we would walk and talk and be with Him, and that we would live with Him forever and ever. I look forward to the day whenever we get to the point where we can live right where Jesus is and be in His presence and talk to Him and have all eternity for it. This old life is short. If you live to be 100, it's just but a vapor. I can look back at my life. I'm 58 years old now, and it wasn't just a few days ago that I finally got old enough to vote. And right about 2 days before that, I got old enough to drive. And about a day and a half before that, I turned 13. And that's been 2 weeks ago. I look in the mirror and I see this old man looking back at me, and I'm saying, I don't feel like that guy, but that's who I am. But I know that when I get in the presence of God, that it's forever and it's eternal. I thank God for sending Jesus Christ. I thank God for you. Listen, my friend, if you have trials and heartaches in this world, I don't know what they are, maybe it's any number of things. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is able, capable, and willing to shoulder the load. And all you have to do is give your burden to Him. I can't think of a better place in the world than to give your burden to God than right here at this altar. Listen to me, friend. If you have something going on in your life that's more than you can bear, bring it right down here to the altar. Jesus will give you rest. But I want to tell you this. If you bring it down here to the altar and you give it to Jesus, don't pick it up and take it back with you. Leave it here at the altar with Jesus, because He can take care of it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't know how you make it through another day, because He is our strength. He is our comfort. Know Jesus and know peace. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is trust and believe. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Saved from the penalty of sin, my friend. Saved from eternal separation with God. Saved from ourselves. Saved from this world. Given hope of an eternal presence in front of the King. I don't know what your need is this morning. I know there's a lot of needs in this world and that everyone has them, but I do know this. My God is sufficient He's capable of taking your need and turning it into a blessing if you'll just give it to him. What's your need this morning? I'd ask our song leader and our pianist to come. We'll stand to have a word of prayer, please. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that tell us that you are our shepherd and that you see to our needs. And Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and minds and help us that we might be able to accept that. Sometimes, maybe, Lord, you want us to go somewhere that we don't want to go, but Lord, I pray that we would be willing to follow your leadership wherever it may be. Lord, if there's any lost here amongst us today, I just pray that you would convict them, the Spirit would, and that they would be drawn and that they would just take that first step. And Lord, maybe there's folk here with burdens in their lives and hardships in their lives, and I pray, Lord, that you would just guide them down here to this altar, that they could give those cares and desires and heartaches to Jesus, that we truly might be freed from them, that we might serve God. Thank you for the opportunity to stand, Lord, and proclaim your word. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life here, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
190. Jesus is tenderly calling me on, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, Father?
Calling. Do you feel the draw? Don't put it off. Do you know if you're feeling the draw of the Spirit and the Spirit's leading you to a decision, whatever it might be, and you put it off, it might be your last chance. You might not make it home. But guess what? Jesus might come back before we get finished. So choose wisely. Follow the leadership of the Spirit. He will only lead you to the truth. Do you hear him calling? All you have to do is take the first step. He'll carry you the rest of the way. As we sing one more verse, don't put it off.
Jesus is calling.